Okay, we're now beginning tape two with George Mueller, who came from Norway in 1924 when he was 16 years old.
Right.
And again, I'll say I'm in Greenfield Center, New York, and that we are in Mr. Mueller's home, mm-hmm. and you're going to hear chiming clocks. There are several of them,
mm-hmm.
and there are family members that you may hear in the background. Mm-hmm. There's also a wood stove near us, which will probably crackle on the recording.
Mm-hmm.
Your family has asked me to ask you about the fish in Norway. There was a good story that we kind of glossed over. So mm-hmm. could you tell me about the fish in Norway?
My first fishing was the brook that was running through our village and out into the ocean. And I used to, 6 years old maybe, and like the other boys, and made a line like that with a hook there, and they put a thing, creeps underneath the stones there, and put that on there, and put it away underneath some bushes or something, one here and one there. We walk in the water like here. And, so that was the beginning of my fishing. But after that, then of course, then I used to go a couple of times, and my father didn't like to go fishing at all. But I was crazy about it. But anyway, so then of course, by and by, I went myself way, way out on the ocean. And of course, let me see, now, we had to borrow. We didn't have no boat in them days. We didn't have a boat before I came home after about 10 years in America, that I could buy my own boat. And so forth, and the sail, and I went way, way out.
So
and
whose caught... boat was it? Whose boat did you use?
That was my boat that I bought when I came home.
That was the boat you.
When yeah.
You...
Otherwise, I remember one guy saying to me, he had a boat. So if you'll bike down to Grimstad in your city and buy, there was the beginning of the lottery in Norway. So if you'll do that for me, you can take my boat anytime you want to. But so I did. But I remember one thing. One time he came down, he wanted to go fishing, and his boat wasn't there because I bought it. I had it out on the ocean. But anyway, I was allowed to use his boat. And I thought that was super. We were too poor to have a boat before I got so old that I. Well, that was after I came back from America.
Of fish did you catch?
Cod fish. That's what we liked the best. Codfish.
And how was the codfish prepared?
Oh, cooked. Then my mother cooked it. So much. Not too much, but enough. And then we had cooked fish and a little bit of melted margarine for sauce, like, and then some potatoes. Oh, was that ever good.
How did you catch the cod from the boat? What method did you use to catch the cod?
Lines, long lines that could go down to the bottom, and we had a heavy thing on there, and then a line maybe like this, and then we went to the bottom, because that's where the fish is, near the bottom. So we pulled it up so much, until maybe the hook got hooked to something else. So anyway. And that's where we fished, right there. We could see, sometimes we had some shiny, quite big hooks with the list like this. And then it was...
curved?
Yeah, a curve. And we could sit like that a little bit and fool. And it looked like a shiny fish. The rest of the hook, where the hooks was in this stuff. But anyway... So
that would fool the cod into thinking it was a...
Sure, he goes fast like that, and then comes the cod with a big, big mouth, they have a big mouth, and then they grab it. And then, of course, sometimes we nice cod feet like this.
Uh-huh,
beautiful.
That's about
beautiful.
2.5 feet.
Beautiful.
How do you clean a cod?
Oh, that's
catch it?
You just take it home. Some of the guys, or maybe all the people, did it right there on the boat. With the ocean, you cut open, and there was the liver. If there was liver, that was saved and cooked it with the fish, liver. But anyway, I will never forget them. We could have cooked fish and a little bit of But not really butter, but
the margarine.
I've never in my life had I ever tasted real margarine, real butter. Never before I came to America.
Well, we should probably get you back to America. We've digressed a bit about fishing, and let me just recap. You've come into New York. You went through the process at Ellis Island. You met your father at Ellis Island. You had your first subway ride.
Yeah.
And to Brooklyn. How did you spend your first night in America?
I came home in the afternoon, somewhere in the afternoon, where I suppose we went to some place to eat, see? And then was the next day, was it the same day? I don't know. We got to go to, my father said we have to go to the clothes seller. Because, you know, had old country clothes, funny clothes.
Well, let me ask you about that. What clothes were you wearing when you met your father?
Oh, just everyday clothes.
Describe what that is for
us. Well, then if we were fortunate to have a jacket that went down here.
Jacket, that's the middle of your cap.
Here. And then a sweater, maybe, and a shirt. And then, of course, we've got too cold out on the deck. Earl and I used to walk quite a lot and so forth. But then we went down and warm up and so forth. And we felt good, we were in good shape and so forth.
So your father took you to buy new clothes.
The next day.
What did he buy for you?
See, I was surprised because I got clothes. No, you got to be like everybody else. I'd already only look at you. And I could sit here, and there was the street there, and the boys used to play ball on the street. I could sit there and, boy, I wish I could go out. But I didn't know what they were saying, so I couldn't ask them. I couldn't even ask them. I wouldn't know what to say.
Where did your father live in Brooklyn?
555 55th Street, and also 55th Street we lived.
The first place where your father took you your first night in America, can you tell me what kind of a structure it was?
He only had something they call a hall room, a little bit of a room. There was just about enough for a bed, maybe like that. But you know something? We slept on that bed the first night. So then after that, I guess the lady in the house had a bigger bed for us.
So he's living in a boarding house.
Because I slept like a logman. I don't see how my father could sleep.
Well, you gestured that the bed was roughly maybe 3.5 feet wide or so. Smaller?
Barely
3 feet wide. Barely.
But look on me. I was tired, I suppose, on the trip, and I slept like a log. But I couldn't understand my father, because the next day, I'm sure that he talked to the lady and we got a bigger home.
Explain to me a little bit about what your relationship was like with your father when you first came here.
Fine. Mm-hmm. It was okay. Mm-hmm. But I tell you something, and Elizabeth knows. But anyway, so the time went on, and everybody taken, all the men taken all their families, not all, but most, had taken their families over to America. They borrowed money or made money or whatever. But then, I'll never forget it. I'll never forget it. My father comes with his hand, like that. Well, what's the matter? I gotta have your money. Going to take my family over to America. My younger brother tells me the story, because he was only a kid. He was only 1 year old when I left the old country. He was going to get a few $1,000. So I said, no, I'm not going to pay for it. Then my younger brother said to me, then another letter came, forget about America trip. We haven't got the money. Because I wasn't going to give my money, because most likely I would have been the supporter. even though I didn't wasn't a regular carpenter at that time. I would have had to. I wouldn't have been able to save anything. But of course, I guess my mother had made arrangements according to my younger brother that they were going to go to America. Then word came from America, no, you can't get them. I haven't got the money. And then they never got to America. It was better off. My mother didn't like it in America. She was over here, and she lived downtown Brooklyn. And in them days, it was terrible hot, and the houses close to one another. And she didn't like it. And there was funny people there, and so forth, so on. And so she, if she was here a few years, then she went back home. She was glad to get back home. She wouldn't have liked to come back to America. It would have been a waste of money.
What year did she first come over?
Oh, that must have been, let's see. My father went to America. And then she came maybe a year and a half after.
So it's before you were born.
Long before.
Yeah. And she just didn't like it, so she went back. She didn't want to go to Montana because of the Indians, and she was happier in Norway.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
Tell me a little bit about the neighborhood that you lived in Brooklyn. What kinds of people lived in the neighborhood?
When I came to America?
Yes.
Nice. The streets were nice, and there was a guy that came up with a thing with two wheels. And he swept along the sidewalks and kept it nice. But maybe a few years, 5 years later, they had machinery doing it by itself like that. And then of course, we had gas lights out there. And the guy used to come, he had a long stick, and he went up there and he turned something and he turned out the light in the morning. And then he came back before dark, and it turned it on again. That's how it was then.
Did you have gas lights in your apartment?
I think there was, but I don't know if there were gas lights in there, but it must have been because it wasn't too long after electricity, not too long.
But you remember the gas lights on the street lamps being still
Yes. This man, that was his job. Up and down the streets there, see? Like that.
What are some of the other things about the neighborhood that stick out in your mind? Do you remember like a store or something that...
Well, you know what? I was used to working hard. Delivering bread all over, up and down, barefooted in the sandy roads, you know, up here, there. What was going on?
We were talking about the things that you saw in the neighborhood, like things that stick out in your mind that you remember, maybe a store that you used to go to or a restaurant that you used to go to that were right near where you lived.
Yeah. I remember my father saying, today we're going down to the place on the corner down on 5th Avenue and 55th Street. They sell men's clothing. So then they bought me a nice brown set of clothes. Poor guy. He didn't have any money, but I was always a kid.
Tell me about how you learned English.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Within a year, I could understand anything people were telling me. On the job, especially, you know. Because they were mostly Norwegians on the job, but only talked in our own language. But anyway, I could understand everything. And
was this the job that you, the first job that you got, building the shoe stores?
Yeah, helping. And I had to clean the floors and so forth, and to take care of things. Yeah.
Do you remember what your first word in English was that you understood?
Or maybe yes. Maybe yes and no. Maybe something like that.
Did you ever remember making a mistake trying to say one word and saying something else that sticks out in your mind?
Offhand, I can't remember. But probably make mistakes like that, but I can't really remember. And then I got to work with the painter on the job. They used to paint what we made. He remembered, and he sort of like another guy with same name as me, and he liked those two kids for some reason. We came from nice family, but anyway, he told us about he had such a nice girl, the daughter, but that's it. Maybe she came to visit her father. Maybe once in the shop there where he was fixing, doing the painting and so forth. But anyway, he was a very nice guy, and his parents, as far as I remember, they were German. They came from Germany. And he liked us guys. We were good people from the old country. But George was born in America, but our Norwegian parents. So he could talk Norwegian just as good as my wife. My wife was my wife was Norwegian parents. That's all they talked in the house. She could read and write and talk just as good as me. But I said to my daughter sitting there, that I wish that Elizabeth, her mother, had talked Norwegian so you could have learned the language just like I did. Just like there was nothing to it. Yeah. And the English came by itself. And by, I make all kinds of mistakes even today when I write English. But I'm not so particular anymore.
Did your father speak English?
And so-and-so. Yeah, he could talk to people.
Because he, of course, had been here so much longer, back and forth.
And I could, within a year, I could get along okay. Yeah.
Tell me how you became a carpenter, how that whole process.
So the next day, I guess it was. I don't think it was the same day. Well, Dad, I got to have a job. What's the matter? After all, you just came. You just came yesterday. Take it easy, will you? No, I don't want to take it easy. I want a job. Sure enough, he takes me down to Hamilton Avenue, 14th Street, because he knew Ola Axelsen, even from our village in the old country. Him and his brother had a shop there, and they had, by that time, started to make shoe stores for some big company. Well, we went there, and he didn't care much for me. I was 16 years old, then never had any experience, this and that. But somehow he said, okay, then. So he said, okay. So the next day, I went to work and got along fine. And the painter, he couldn't speak Norwegian. He was from German people. And then it was George Nikolaisen. Yeah, he could speak Norwegian just as good as me. I'd never been in Norway, but there were Norwegian parents, so forth. But we had a real good time. And we sat there talking, lunch hour, half hour, you know, and talk about things and this and that. And got sold. It wasn't very long. I could understand all they were talking about, they sitting there. Like that. Very interesting. 9 years. Then Mom and I got married, got to know this girl, with parents, and she could speak Norwegian just as good as me.
What was her name?
Esther.
And what was her maiden name?
That was Esther.
Let me fix your microphone. You keep pulling it down here.
Oh, yeah.
It's okay.
What's in there? Esther. Hey, Mom. Well, Elizabeth?
You can say Elizabeth.
Yeah.
What was her name?
Trulsen.
Yeah.
Trulsen. Can you spell that?
T-R-U-L-S-E-N. Trulsen.
And when you first met Esther,
yeah,
what was it about Esther that you liked?
Oh, well, let me see now. We went to the same church. The Norwegian Evangelical Lutheran Free Church. And we came there, and her parents came there with their the two little girls, Esther and a younger girl, 2 years younger, and they were good looking, and so forth. But there was later. There was later in years.
What was your first date with Esther? Where did you go with her the very first time?
I think there was different boys that had walked Esther home from church. Because, you know, but things was not serious bad like it is today. So there wasn't so... Now even they write to me from Norway that it's just as bad as America. We cannot go out after dark. This is what my sister wrote to me.
But
now,
you used to walk with Esther...
I used to walk home all the time. They had a nice one family home on 80th Street and between 10th and 11th Avenue. Very, very nice. Now, so one day, I met one day, I don't know, a week or two or whatever, then George, I would like to take you in the house and meet my mother and father. I felt a little bit funny, but I did go in and soon I got to know them, beautiful, you know, the whole house like this, beautiful. Norwegian people are very particular, so most of them.
And her parents were born in Norway, but she was born in the United States.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Did you speak English with Esther, or did you speak Norwegian with her?
Well, by that time, I think that I had learned fairly good. And I think that Mom would rather speak English than Norwegian. But she could speak and read and write just as good as me.
What year did you get married?
Oh, no, 33.
1933.
Yeah, and 1 week later we went to Norway. And we stayed home in Norway 1 year. No, 2 years.
Did you see your mother when you went in 1933?
Oh, yeah,
Tell
we lived
there.
Tell
me what it was like. Was that the first time you had been back to Norway?
Oh, yes, to go been back, yeah.
Yes.
And then 9 years.
Tell me what it felt like to see your mother after
that
time.
Oh, my, it was super. My mom had come to America to visit those kids. I'll never forget what my mother told me. That she said, can you hear this?
Yeah.
Yeah. My mother said to this, the doctor in Norway said about her, about my mother, Mrs. Müller, det finns ikke mavesaft. Der finns ikke mavesaft. And that must mean probably that my mother needed the oil for her stomach. Stomach, soft is, what do you make out of berries and things?
Like a liquid juice?
Liquid, yeah. There's no belly, marve. There's no marve soft in your marve, in the
stomach.
I'll never forget that. And then I wouldn't be surprised, Liz, that I have taken something like that, because I got to take something that I take a little bit with food. This is also food, but you got to mix it with food. And it keeps my stomach nice.
Did you ever consider moving back to Norway to live?
Well, I tell you one thing. Was it yesterday or today? Yesterday, I think it was. But now I can't remember what it was I said it to. But I said, oh yeah, and I was sitting beside somebody in church. If I hadn't had Elizabeth, I could just as well have gone right home. Right in there. I could have gone right home. Yeah.
Can you name the children that you had for me, please?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Frederick was the oldest of our Liz?
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, did I say this right now?
Yes.
Freddie was the oldest, George was the next, right?
Frederick, George.
Who was third, Liz?
David.
David died 50-some years old. David, who came then, Liz?
Robert,
yeah, mm-hmm. He's an anesthetist.
Daniel.
Leonard.
Glenn.
And
me.
Elizabeth.
And John. And Peter.
That was 10.
That's a big family.
Big family. How God provided us with food down through the years. I worked early and late. In order to keep food in the house, I had to put in twice as much time. But I stayed pretty healthy, didn't I, Liz?
Sure did.
Yeah, I stayed healthy.
I should say, for the sake of the tape, that Mr. Mueller is referring to Elizabeth, which is fine, which is okay, just for the transcriber's sake, so they'll know to put Elizabeth instead of voice off mic.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Tell me about... I want you to talk a little bit before we end, and we do have to end soon, a little bit about your profession as a carpenter in your later years.
Oh, my, yeah.
How that happened and what kinds of things you made.
Yeah. I got a job in Oxelson, see? Edmund Oxelson, his brother, was the foreman in the shop.
And this was in Brooklyn?
This was in Brooklyn, yeah.
This is in Brooklyn.
Yeah, and then me... They didn't know if I had the avenue to learn the trade. But I was so interested in learning the carpenter trade, that was everything. And sure enough, I started, I got a job. And of course, I could stay maybe a little late sometimes and make something for myself. And of course, Edmund, he must have, there is a guy that's going to go far. And I did. It was $11 a week, and another dollar, and pretty soon, within 4 years or so, I was right up there, full pay. And how old was I then? Just 20 years old, about 20, 21. I loved to go to work in the morning at my trade.
And what Always kinds of did. Things were you making?
We were making anything for a store.
Cabinetry
and
store?
Yeah, shelves that wide, and all ready, put together in the shop. They had a truck, taken out of the job, and there was all the guys that used to set it up. Yeah, and I those all the things. And I remember in the beginning there that I had to ask Edmund maybe about things. But he was nice to me, and he told me how to do it that way. And it ain't that particular or something like that.
How did you buy your tools? Where did you get your tools?
Oh, the hardware store in Brooklyn. Yeah. Oh, I used to like to work with them tools, nice planes and hammers and chisels and files and everything that I need.
Now, did you always, your whole life, make store fixtures, or did you open your own carpentry shop?
Oh, well, after we came back home from Norway, we were settled in Brooklyn, and didn't I? Well, that was before mom's time. But anyway, sometimes it works for the bank also, but I think that was through a contractor and so forth. But I was always working, yeah.
Well, and as I've come up to your home today, just outside of Saratoga, you have a big shop out there, that big
The whole thing
brick.
Was a shop, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Well, so when later in years, you were still doing this, I assume.
Yeah, but you know what the trouble is now? I haven't got the strength. See, it comes time to 87 years old, I know very well, but I have very, very little that I put around it.
Have you ever taught anyone how to be a carpenter?
None of my kids has ever shown that they told me that they want to be carpenters, like me. Or if I had brothers, they could my father could have showed me. My father didn't know anything about carpenter work.
What is your favorite wood to work with?
Oh, well,
Can you describe what that is? Remember,
what do you call that, Liz?
Cedar hope chest.
It's a large chest. Large with an open lid.
Yeah.
It's dovetailed.
Yeah.
And dowel.
Yes, yes. The lady, Messina. Oh yeah, I built one like that for a lady, and I got, I think it was $550 for it. Lot of work.
What is the one thing that you've made in your life that you were the most proud of? The one object that you made with your hands?
What in the world could that be? Well, you see now, this material came, I paid $800 for that.
Are you referring to a large grandfather's clock, one of the clocks we've been hearing through the interview?
Yeah, and then I put it together only. But I wouldn't suggest anybody unless they're A1 cabinet maker to put one of those together. Because if they glue something, and it could ruin the whole thing. If they don't, it's got to be exactly right smack on.
Let me ask you a couple of final questions. One question is, do you consider yourself Norwegian or American?
Well, see, look.
We're looking at some Norwegian books that Mr. Mueller is showing me. Yeah, this is a Norwegian Bible.
Yeah, I like them best. Instead of English, I use my own.
But you yourself, do you consider yourself Norwegian or American?
Well, I am, first I know that, well, of course, you know, we have to go through things in order to become American citizen.
Oh, tell me a little bit about the process of becoming a citizen. What did you have to do to become an American citizen?
We had to put in an application. And then, I remember one funny thing. So I came before somebody. They want to ask me some questions. So they asked me a question. Not much to the question, but I didn't know what to say. And the guy maybe got a little tired of me. I don't know, but something like that. But anyway, he said to me, why didn't you tell me that? Because I didn't think it was a decent answer. But he said, what is the biggest law in America? What would you say? And me, foreigner? This is what he said to me. What is the biggest law in America? Can you imagine that? Well, anyway, so I thought, I don't know. Haven't you ever heard about... No, that left my brain. Haven't you ever heard about the... Did you know the in the Washington there? Haven't you ever heard? Of course, I said, well, why didn't you tell me that? So I was okay, because I said that. I was okay. He didn't ask me anymore.
How did you feel when you became a citizen?
Great. Being an American citizen, there was a good thing. There's no doubt about it. And not only that, think of how good this great land has been to me down through the years with work. But I had to know my business.
What advice do you have for young people who might be listening to this interview, what advice would you give a young person about how to lead their life?
Yeah, well, if they like to handle tools, saws, planes, chisels, anything, well, then go for it. Oh my! I could save up enough money so I could have another plane, or just some kind of different kind of a plane, or just so that and this and that. And, oh boy! I liked my trade if anybody ever did. I did. Oh.
Well, Mr. Mueller, I want to thank you very much. You've been a wonderful interviewee, and we've been talking for an hour and 35 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
I appreciate you letting me answer. Questions.
You know, I'm also thanking you for your kindness and come here and do this here.
Oh, I'm happy I did.
Very, very nice.
This is Paul Sigrist signing off with George Mueller on Sunday, April 30th, 1995, here in Greenfield Center, New York, with his daughter Elizabeth in attendance throughout the entire interview and
sure.
A lot of clocks, which we've been listening to. Thank you very much.
Thank you.